Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
It's a Friday, and you know what that means. Takes on Takes here on the Prospects and Props podcast. Chris Schubert, Jamie Eisner here with you once again on the show. Takes on Takes. You provide the takes. We provide the reactions, the answers, the debate, the conversation, and you guys have delivered with quite a number of takes for this week's edition of the show. Jamie, we're going to go all over the place here. Okay. I have to combine three takes together for our first take, okay?
Okay, I haven't seen any of these.
This is great.
Sometimes I'll catch a glimpse. I am flying blind.
Part one of a three-part take that it has a counter take and then a counter counter take.
Okay.
So the first original take from Janelle. Take. Okay. Vikings, Bears, and Packers are rebuilding. Now, I don't want you to respond to that. I'm going to give you the whole context, and then we can go into it from there. Then we had a counter take to that take that said the Vikings defense is rebuilding, the offense is built. And then we had a counter counter take to that take, which was, Without Dalvin Cook and Adam Thielen, the Vikings offense is rebuilding. So however you want to take this, we have a lot of roads we can go down here.
Okay, well, let's narrow in on the Vikings to start, since that seems to be the common thread to get us through these three takes. Vikings defense rebuilding, I think we can all agree, yes, and that's a nice way of putting it. I would prefer the term sucks, but, you know, rebuilding is fine. Whatever term we want to use there. The Vikings offense is built. I think the Vikings offense is crumbling. And here's what I mean.
Okay.
It was built. And I think we have seen over the past couple years with Cousins and Jefferson and Thielen and Dalvin Cook and that combination that it was a nice structure. They had a very nice offensive home to walk into. It's a little bit more dilapidated now than it was a year ago. That's not to say they don't have some pieces. Kirk Cousins is still there. Justin Jefferson is still there. TJ Hockenson is now going to be there for a full season. But you're now going to be relying on rookie wide receivers, wide receiver two, increased role for KJ Osborne, Alexander Mattison, and Ty Chandler in your backfield. It's not looking as nice as it used to. I would say it's not built. I would say it is. Ooh, timeout.
Got a question for you.
It's really early in the show.
If you had to rank the Vikings just offensively, so put the Vikings
in the division?
No, in the entire National Football League. What spot or range, you could do a range, would you put them in? And there's a reason why I'm asking this. I'll deliver the punchline once you answer.
I now got to look at this. So if I was just ranking offenses.
Just ranking the offenses.
I would put them.
I'm just gonna do. I'm just trying to see how I can do this and also count and also fill time on the air. Here.
That's fair. So, and I don't. If you want to give me a range of they would fall between this spot and this spot, I'm good with that. But I just want to know where you would put this Vikings offense, considering everything you just said about rookie wide receiver at number two, no Adam Thielen, Dalvin Cook gone, all the thing. Kirk Cousins, you know, one
average.
Year.
I would say the 12 to 16 range.
Jamie, what if I told you that in the TDN Daily positional rankings for 2023, the average ranking, if you just look at the offensive categories for the Minnesota Vikings, so quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, and offensive line, their average ranking amongst those five position groups, if you took all of those position groups, you added them up.
Yeah, I know what averaging means, Chris. Thank you.
13.6 is where they is their
okay, number. So I think we're on the same boat here.
They're 15th in again, quarterback.
It's not bad.
15th in quarterback, 27th in running back, 5th in wide receiver, 9th in tight end, O-line is 12th. That is an average of 13.6. That feels about exactly how we feel about the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah,
they're an average.
I want to make this clear. It is. The offense is fine. But to say it is built when you have an old quarterback going into the final year of his contract, you just lost two key pieces off of it, I think is giving it a little too much credit. It's not rebuilding necessarily yet because they still have Kirk Cousins, but next year it could be rebuilding. Like, with it, you're going to have a new quarterback there next year. Mm-hmm. I assume you're going to pay Justin Jefferson, and then there's not going to be some sort of lingering offseason controversy, but you never know. I'm assuming Addison hits the ground running and looks like he's showing flashes of the player that he was in college. But right now, I said this, I like Alexander Mattison, but I'm not willing to say he is just a like for like replacement for Dalvin Cook right now. So there is, the offense is not the reason why the Vikings aren't a good team this year, in my estimation of them not being that good of a team. I think they're going to be an average team, but I would push back on the offense being built. As far as the first part of the question,
I'd like to push back on using the term rebuilding.
For the Vikings?
I think they're retooling, and I think there's a difference in those philosophies.
Correct. They're not now, whether they should be rebuilding or not, it's a different story. They are not in rebuild mode
right,
for
they're
this
in
season.
Retool mode, and there is a difference between those two things. They are trying to do this on the fly. They are trying to remain somewhat competitive and every year have a chance to be in the mix for either the division or a wild card spot while taking a 30,000-foot view and making the necessary tweaks and adjustments to give themselves,
we're not good enough to win a Super Bowl right
to give themselves
now, so
another championship window. They are trying to retool instead of rebuild. When I think of a rebuild, I think of a team like what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are currently going through. They had their window. It is completely slammed shut, and they are going to rebuild the entirety of that roster over the next 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, I think that there's a conversation, and that's kind of why I said their defense is, you know, I prefer the term sucks. Because I would argue of what pieces have they really added that make you think they're really rebuilding on that side of the ball. And then they need, again, there's a difference, I think, between needing a rebuild and actually rebuilding. And I think the term quote unquote rebuilding is probably overused in the NFL, because if I had to look at teams that I would say fit, no doubt in my mind, just unequivocally fit the definition of actively rebuilding their entire roster now.
I'm going through it. I'm going through the teams.
Okay. And I would say Arizona, Chicago. Okay. It's not timeout. No, you can disagree without using a timeout here.
Which team
are you?
Arizona. Have they actually started?
No, they're doing the stripping. Do you know what I'm saying? Like they're doing that, because the first part of the rebuilding is the stripping. And
but
I think
they're not
in the stripping stage.
Okay, be
not
careful.
The working their way through college stripping.
Easy, be
stage,
careful.
The stripping the roster.
But
stage.
They have a quarterback, and that's the kind of weirdness for that for me.
Sure, but they're kind of they do. We'll see how long they have.
Are
that
the Rams rebuilding? No, they're just bad. Well, no,
the Rams are in the stripping. Like, here's the thing, and this is
but they're I'm not saying, because there's nothing to strip down in LA.
Well, no, there is now. I mean, they traded Jalen Ramsey. And they let a bunch of guys walk in the offseason. They, you know what I mean? So like, there's a little bit of the stripping. Now the question is, they're going to say they're not, and no, they're not on the ascent yet. But I think to me, I guess it's called a pre-rebuild. Maybe that's where the Rams and the Cardinals are, a pre-rebuild. Well, you know, the rebuild is coming. they're not really competitive right now, but they're really just ridding themselves of all the bad contracts or anybody that's not going to be a long-term piece.
And that's kind of what Tampa's doing.
Yes. Tampa's so I guess these teams are in the pre-rebuild stage. Chicago's rebuilding.
Houston.
Houston's rebuilding. Indy. And they're heavy into the rebuilding. So is Indianapolis. And I don't think other teams are rebuilding. Like, they're bad teams.
Tennessee's not there yet. They're just bad.
No, they're just bad.
The Raiders are just bad. I don't know what they're doing.
Raiders are bad. And then there's a question about whether or not you feel like, I mean, I don't think the Panthers or the Falcons were bad enough to call this a rebuild. Maybe you call, like, I don't know what you call
it. They're certainly not in a pre-rebuild. Atlanta's not.
Yeah. Like, I feel like they're just.
They're retooling. I think they're retooling.
Yeah, because I feel like the rebuild happened a while ago. It failed, and now they have a new regime, and they trade up for the number one pick. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. I feel like the truly rebuilding teams in the way we think about it is probably Houston. Like, that's the team that's the most like that, and I think we're going to be in a year or two, it's going to be Arizona and Los Angeles Rams, you know, where it's like, okay, the roster's completely stripped. We're starting from the beginning, and so there it is. So I guess this was a very long-winded way of saying I don't think technically anybody but the Bears are rebuilding, and the Bears are already in the process of the rebuild. They're on their way to start. They're on the other end of the parabola. They're starting to build up now.
Okay, I understand what you're saying.
I mean, they're going to be good this year. It just means they're on the other side of it. At least they should be. If not, yikes.
This take from Wise Sean RN. It's a tattle take.
Ooh, okay.
He says Trevor Sikkema, good friend of the show. Trevor Sikkema
has
Bo Nix over Drake May, but I agree. Says why Sean RN. Listen, I have not done the deep dive on either of these guys yet, but based off of 2022 tape, I don't know if I can get there.
I don't. I don't think it's like ridiculous.
It's not like a massive gap, but
because I think we're talking about two guys that could go in the first round at quarterback. So I want to be like, I don't agree. So I'm selling this take. I want to make that clear, but it's not like the take is I like this third round quarterback over a first round quarterback. There are things I like about Bo Nix. I need to see him do it again. The people I talked to in this draft cycle did not have him graded inside league circles, did not have him graded as a first round quarterback last year, which is a big reason why he went back to Oregon. I want to see more from both. I do think there is, however, a cautionary tale that we should at least discuss. And it's not with any prospect in particular. It's just with the concept of, when quarterbacks aren't draft eligible and they have great seasons, there's a missing element in their evaluation. And it's that people aren't looking at them with the same critical eye that they are in quarterbacks in their draft eligible season. And I would say that and that's not to say Drake May is not great or Caleb Williams is not great. I'm not saying that.
How dare you say Caleb Williams isn't very good, Jamie? How dare you?
What I'm saying is when a more critical eye with the NFL in mind gets put upon these players, flaws that were overlooked as freshmen or sophomores all of a sudden are not overlooked anymore. So I don't think it's an unreasonable take, but based on the information I have right now on June 16th, 2023, as we head into the college football season, I do not have Bo Nix ranked above Drake May. I also would not say that it is completely unrealistic that could be where we get to by the time we get to next year's draft.
Did you enjoy that one take break from talking about the Minnesota Vikings? Because we're right back into it. Mr. JPEG has a title take for the ages. This is from a Twitter account, and he's put the tweet in here. The Twitter account is Let Quessy Cook. And here's what the tweet says. The Vikings currently have five players.
Oh, God, help us.
The Vikings currently have five players who are in conversation to be top three players at their position. And the five players that were mentioned were Justin Jefferson, Christian Darrisaw, right tackle Brian O'Neill, Kirk Cousins, and TJ Hockenson. Now listen, not going to lie, they had us in the first half. I can get there with Justin Jefferson. I could get Justin there with Christian Darrisaw. I can't get anywhere close with the other three.
No. So let's talk about this as I struggle to put my hat back on. Justin Jefferson, yeah, absolutely.
He's the best receiver in football.
I mean, there's no argument. He's top one. He's top two and he's not one. He's top two and he's not two.
Yeah, there you go. You had a great bit and you messed it up. Way to go. That's fantastic. Unbelievable job. Can't believe we're going to leave that in.
You know who also doesn't suck? Christian Darrisaw. So I don't know if he's top three. I'd have to, he's close. Like, at worst, I'd have to sit here. And I mean, you did the offensive line rankings. What did you, I know you did the units, but like.
Right. Minnesota's group was 12th.
Yeah, but like Darrisaw in particular, like when you wrote down your list, if you just scan through the furthest left name on your list,
I'm going through right now. Like I'm thinking of other names that you're probably going to be you're gonna look at, and I'm just doing a quick overview here. You got Trent Williams, who you're going to have a conversation about. Tristan Wirfs is probably in that conversation.
Yeah, but he played right. I know he's playing left tackle this year, but he played right tackle last year, so I'm not going to count it yet.
Maybe you would discuss Bakhtiari, but he's hurt a lot, and so
all the injuries at this point.
Andrew Thomas. Jordan Mailata. I'm just giving you big names at these positions. Yeah. Laremy Tunsil in Houston, Jedrick Wills in Chicago. Yeah. And that's maybe about it. Teron Armstead in Miami.
I think at worst he's top five. So I'm not going to argue with that one. I'm fine. Right. I'm going to give you
the take was he's in the conversation. I think Christian Darrisaw is in the conversation, right? Brian O'Neill, I can't get there.
Brian O'Neill, no. Kirk Cousins
a top three quarterback in the conversation.
Kirk Cousins is mid, folks.
He's M-I-D mid.
He's fine. He's fine. Kirk Cousins is fine, but he's not this. And Hockenson's a damn good tight end, but he's not top three.
Well, Kelsey?
Kittle? But I guess if you want to put him in the conversation, sure. But Kelsey and Kittle are in class of their own. And then I guess you're talking about him in the Andrews.
And Pitts.
How you feel about Waller.
And Waller.
Pitts is still theoretical at the moment.
I would take Pitts over Hockenson. I love Hock. I would take Pitts over Hockenson.
Like if you had Pitts in a different offense, like the idea would be, yeah. But again, I can give you conversation.
I can't get Hockenson in the top five, and that to me means you're out.
Okay. But yeah, this is ridiculous.
Dallas Goedert.
Oh, yeah. I don't know why. I would definitely have got it over. As a pure tight end, yeah. So he's definitely not top five. Definitely not top three.
Right.
This was top five discussion, in the conversation, yes, he was.
Kelsey, Andrews, Pitts, Kittle, Waller, and Goddard are all names that I would take above Hockenson.
I would take Hockenson above Waller. I don't know what I would do with Pitts yet, but I take everybody else.
So, no, I'm selling this take.
Do you have any more Vikings takes? Is this takes on Vikings?
No, I don't have any more. I don't have any more Vikings takes. I have a great take from our good friend Bailey.
Okay, I'll be the judge of that.
If you added the roster together of the Buccaneers and the Cardinals, the two longest odds to win the NFC, they would still lose to either of the top two ranked NFC teams, the 49ers and the Eagles, even if Kyler Murray is fully healthy.
I mean, I'll take that a step further. I think you combine the two rosters and... Kyler healthy. Here's the thing. I don't think they're beating the top two teams. I want to decide how vicious I want to get on this take. Like, I agree with this take.
You want to go to
Kyler unhealthy. I don't think they're a playoff team.
I agree.
A fully healthy Kyler, I think they could be a wild card.
Let's do the thing. Let's build a team.
Bad.
Let's build a team out of those two rosters. Okay. Hold on, I gotta look.
Let's do Kyler unhealthy. I want to change the.
Well, no, you can't change. No, you can't change somebody.
I'm changing it.
No, you can't do that.
It's funner.
No, it's not more funner. Funner's not a word. More fun would be more fun. You're looking for
that. It's more fun. The fun per 60 is higher with it.
Let's look at.
Oh no, Chris. You know what? Let's meet in the middle. Let's do what we realistically think: a half season of the Bucs quarterback and a half season of Kyler Murray.
Are we sure Colt McCoy wouldn't beat out Baker Mayfield and Kyle Trask to be the starter or Clayton Tune?
Okay, so we'll do half of Colt McCoy or Baker Mayfield and half of whatever we get from Kyler Murray.
So our starting left tackle.
Okay.
Here's what I want to do. I want to make our
Paris
starting.
Johnson.
Well, what are we going to do with DJ Humphries then?
Yeet him. I don't know. I don't need him. I got Tristan Wirfs at right tackle. We're fine.
Okay, but hold on, because we got to build the best five.
Okay. And do we have to use, I guess we should use the positions they're playing this year. Okay,
So let's put DJ. We can do whatever we want.
No, no. We can do whatever we want.
Let's make DJ our left tackle so we can make Tristan our right tackle, position he's comfortable with.
Okay. Paris at left guard.
I don't
Jensen
care.
Jensen at center.
Yeah, because we're not taking the Cardinals center, and the right side of their line's not very good. This is the tough part.
Who's the right guard
In Arizona or Tampa Bay?
Tampa. I'm blanking.
In Tampa, it's going to be Cody Mock right now.
That's right.
So we could put Mock,
and then
or else
Cody Mock versus what? Will Hernandez?
Will Hernandez. So I think we'll take Cody Mock.
Yeah, I'll take Cody Mock.
All right. So that's our offensive line.
Okay.
Our running back room is going to be James Conner.
Rashad White.
And we're good there, right?
Yeah. I mean, for the purposes of this conversation, okay. Yes.
Our wide receivers are going to be the trio that Tampa has, and then we'll we'll include Hollywood Brown.
No. I'd take Hollywood over Gage, and I like Gage. But we're going to Evans. Evans, Godwin, Brown,
and Rondale Moore.
Yes, I kind of think Rondale's going to have a good year. I'm kind of excited about Rondale. I guess the corpse of Zach Ertz at tight end.
Kate Otten and Coke Hyfe ain't getting it done. I'm sorry.
And Trey McBride. And like,
yeah, I think we'll take the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Defensively, give me Tampa's defensive line.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of who are we saving on Arizona.
Buda Baker as part of our defense, yeah. And that's mainly it.
Yeah.
Who's my defensive coordinator? Do I have Bowles?
No, or do I have head coach?
Or do I have Gannon?
No. We have to pick a head coach, and we have to pick a coordinator, and we have to pick. Yeah, we can't do it like that.
I want Gannon as my head coach.
Oh, I definitely. Oh no, I know Todd Bowles has his issue, but Jonathan Gannon is a lunatic. I'm out on this. I'm going to take Todd. OC.
It's Drew Petzing, or who's the OC in Tampa?
Yeah, the new OC there. It's
Dave Canales.
Yeah.
So it's Canales or Pensing. Pensing is a guy who came from Cleveland, was the QB coach. I don't think he has any play calling experience.
I guess Canales, and then
we got either Casey Rogers or Larry Foote, or we can go with Nick Rattles, who's like 26 years old or something.
I know. Oh God,
these teams are so bad. Does that team win? That team wins a division, right? That team can win a division. We put together, we could win the NFC South with that team. We could win the NFC South.
I mean, they could win. If that team gets to replace the Bucs instead of the Cardinals,
yeah, we could win.
I think they're in contention for that division, but that's still not very good.
But well, I didn't say it was good.
That's a 7 or 8 win team.
I just was making an observation.
But yes, the point being, they would not compete with the top of the NFC. I think we agree with that. I just want to see how bad we think they would be.
Braden, welcome back to the show, Braden.
That's sad.
And it's an outlandish take from Braden.
Oh, no.
Brock Bowers will be drafted higher than Kyle Pitts in the first round.
Sell.
So Kyle Pitts was the 4th overall selection, meaning Brock Bowers would have to be a top 3 pick in a year in which you have Marvin Harrison Jr., you're going to have Caleb Williams, you're going to have Drake May, or any of the other quarterbacks that emerge. Sell.
Yeah, not
Joe Alt in there as well.
Olufoshanu
out. I am selling this take. Brock Bowers top 10? I could maybe get on board here.
Sure. I think Brock Bowers
better than Kyle Pitts? No, thank you.
Yeah, no, he's an excellent prospect.
And it might be a better prospect than Kyle Pitts. Might be.
They're different. They're different, but their overall skill sets are very similar in that they're going to make their money in the NFL as dominant pass-catching threats and not so much blocking.
Correct. But Brock Bowers does a lot of things differently than the way Kyle Pitts was used in college, is the point that I'm
making. Yeah, like Kyle Pitts is an athletic freak. Brock Bowers is like a traditional tight end freak, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like you look at them, they're a little bit different in that sense. But no, I can't see this happening. Between the top of the quarterback classes we see now, the top of the left tackle class, and by the way, we haven't even discussed any defensive players yet. JT, whatever the heck his name is, at Ohio State that I'm blanking on right now, is another one that could be an option there. Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, there's just too many guys there. I can't see a team spending a top 3 pick on Brock Bowers. I do think he's going to be in top 10 contention, but I do not see, if you're picking that high, and I know the Falcons were kind of weird, like, Teams with that many needs and needs at quarterback don't typically do what the Falcons did, which is take a tight end at 4 and take a wide receiver at 8.
And then take a running back at 8 the following year.
And then take a running back at 8 again.
Jokes on you.
Back-to-back draft.
Jokes on you, Jamie. They did it 3 straight years.
It's very, come se dice, unconventional.
Yeah, it was a little weird. It's a little weird the way they did it.
So I do not see that happening. But that says nothing about Brock Bowers' potential. It's just it's not likely.
We have two more takes here for the show. One take that I think will warm Jamie's heart because, and maybe warms my heart because I have been a defender of a team that I ranked 24th. I ranked this group 24th.
Okay, this is Houston Texans.
The Houston Texans wide receiver take.
Okay.
Take from Colbers. John Mechie is going to break out for the Texans and show them he is their wide receiver one.
I sure hope so.
I would love that.
I think, A, it would be an awesome story. Coming back from battling cancer and then playing a key role in the Texans offense. Stop me if you hear this before, Chris, but I think the Texans wide receiver corps is better than people think.
Well, and that's the thing. I agree with you, and I still put it 24th, and I'm getting yelled at for putting it 24th.
People think it's terrible. I also kind of want to see, because if you remember John Mechie's draft stock, if you remember, and it feels like forever ago at this point, especially when a guy misses the whole rookie year, it kind of feels like you're forgotten about a bit. Mm-hmm. But it was kind of up and down because you remember how excited we were going into his final college season and he had some drop issues and he kind of went from a good receiver that we were mocking pretty heavily in the first round to somebody that ended up falling to day two. But he's somebody that I think does a lot of little things well, can exceed. And again, I don't think he's ever going to be a wide receiver one, but I do think he can be a really strong starting caliber complementary receiver alongside Nico Collins and Tank Dell and Robert Woods there in Houston. And I am rooting for him to have success. I like to see him be able to overcome that, overcome the cancer treatment and have success at the NFL level. And by the way, it'd be really beneficial for CJ Stroud and his development as well. So I am hoping so. And I know it's different, and it's different coming off of a quote unquote injury versus coming off of cancer. But there is some hope where we saw Travis Etienne miss his entire rookie season and then just pop back on the field in year two and be great. Mm-hmm. So I know it's very different, but I am excited to see John Mechie hit the field. And I would not be surprised if he's a significant contributor in his technically his second season, but his real first season.
The last take here on the show is going to go to Anthony. Take: the Bills are closer to being the number 7 seed in the playoffs rather than the number 1 seed.
Okay, so somebody's been listening to our show.
Or they have a similar thought to the way we feel about them, yes.
That's true. Maybe they're just equally as smart. I think that's a good way to think about it, Chris.
Did you happen to catch yesterday's TD and Daily? Did you see the chart that I shared on the show?
I did not. I think I was writing my one of my sleeper articles.
Actually, I shared a chart that showed it was a chart. And it on
I,
one
you showed a chart that was a chart. One, great sorry. Start so far, Chris.
On one axis was the word I was looking for in my head, and I couldn't get
axis
there.
Axis of evil.
In one like axis was
axis of evil.
2024 cap space. That was along the Y plane. X plane.
X is the flat one. The vertical
and
one.
Y is vertical.
Flat, theoretically, yeah. Y is
vertical. So on the Y axis, it was number of 2024 unrestricted free agents that played 30% or more of snaps in 2022. And so the top left quadrant, what was teams that had not a lot to negative cap space in 2024 and also had a lot of pending free agents. So teams that are completely
all in. You don't
want to
be there.
Yeah, teams that are completely all in for 2023.
Yeah.
And there was a chunk of three teams. The Bills, the Dolphins, and the Jets were on top of each other.
That's really funny, actually. And then as the only good team.
a lot of that is because the Jets have not officially restructured Aaron Rodgers' contract,
right.
And he accounts for $100 million next year. So that will change, but for the moment, that's where they sit.
Yeah, but the Bills have redone some contracts, but they got a lot of key guys, particularly on defense, that are up contract-wise, and apparently a receiver that may or may not be unhappy. Who knows?
He's there, Jamie. He showed up.
I know he's there, and I don't understand why we're making a big deal of it after their coach came out and said he was very concerned, and it's now suddenly our fault.
It's our fault for asking. Yeah, thanks. Appreciate
it. Like, okay, you didn't have to say it. Like, literally, nobody was thinking anything until you made it a big thing, but okay. But I digress. Closer to the 7 seed than the 1 seed. I think I might agree with this.
So, Jamie, I have the data to back this up.
Because the AFC's good. And AFC's I feel like good. The 7 seed could very well be a double-digit win team.
you and I are both of the belief that this Bills team is not going to be as good as they have been in recent years. And I don't love a lot of their groups. And so far on the TDN Daily positional ranking series, which I reference at least twice a show here on these shows, we are through the linebacker group. Now, when you're listening to the show, the corner show will have come out, but the list isn't finalized yet, so I don't have the numbers in there. So far through all of the offensive positions and the linebacker group, the Bills' average ranking so far is 14.5.
Okay. That sounds good.
Now, it helps when they have the number two quarterback room because of Josh Allen, but overall, the rest of their the parts to their machine are not very good. He's going to use one. Go ahead.
I'm using my timeout to take us on a tangent, a small tangent here, Chris. Have you considered weighting any positions versus each other?
Yeah, so this is exactly what the TD and Daily Live YouTube audience would like me to
do. Just because it's like, I feel like having quarterback and off-ball linebacker as equal rankings, I understand why you – I understand it's supposed to be like a quick reference. Like, your specific positional rankings are the point of this series. This is kind of like the Trace Leches cake that you get afterward for dessert. And this is really not why you came there, but it's a sweetener you add at the end. But I do feel like if to kind of get you closer to a number, a catch-all number that you're looking for, I do wonder if you need to weight certain positions a little differently. So, I mean, because to me, having Josh Allen is a bigger plus than, you know, having a bad linebacking core, for example.
I agree, and I understand the thought process. I just have not begun to wrap my head around how I would do that mathematically in order to get the number.
I don't have a great solution for you
but
numerically either.
I have considered it because, again, they're ranked overall 14.5. And what I don't want to do is, yes, they have the second best quarterback room largely because Josh Allen is their quarterback, right? That's why they're up that high.
Yeah.
But at the same token, I don't want to put too much weight onto Josh Allen that it completely ignores the fact that I have them with the 29th ranked running back room or the 23rd ranked offensive line.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, I don't think it's just quarterback that needs to be weighted. Obviously, but offensive line needs to be weighted heavier than I think. If we're just going, things need to be weighted heavier than just 1.0.
Right.
You know, offensive line, quarterback, corner play, edge play. Like, I mean, they're just certain, but it is interesting. But yes, I am of the mind that, look, I would not be surprised. None of us would be surprised if the Bills win 12 or 13 games and they win the division and it's fine. I feel less confident about that now than I did either of the last 2 years. And I just think there are serious flaws on this team. And again, in the context of, are you going to win the Super Bowl? They're still a really good team. I don't want to act like I think they suck, but we are looking at the Buffalo Bills through a lens of, are you going to win the Super Bowl or not? That is the class they have put themselves in, which is a good – it's the group you want to be included in, but it also comes with really, really high expectations. And I feel like I look at this roster and I see good playoff team. I don't see Super Bowl favorite like I did the last couple of years.
I agree with that assessment. That's going to do it for us here on another edition of Takes on Takes. Do we have a fun week in store for you next week? Wide receiver rankings here on the show.
Wide receiver week.
Yeah, so wide receiver week. We've got, I think, 3 episodes going through the rankings and then a sleepers episode as well. So it's going to be like 4 episodes in total covering the wide receiver
group. So many players that are fantasy relevant. Like, there's so many. If you're in the league, and I'll just say this now, and I'll say this again when we do our show. Next week. If your league doesn't start 3 wide receivers every week now, it needs to. There are just too many good wide receiver options. You need your league to have 3 wide receiver specific starting spots, or otherwise, you're going to have too many good players on waivers that are going to contribute.
As somebody who plays in a league that has 3 wide receiver spots, I agree 100% with what you're saying there. Helps out quite a bit when you have 3 starting wide receivers each and every week. So you've got that to look forward to next week. Please rate, review, subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcast. The podcast now available on YouTube Music as well. If that's where you listen to your music or podcast, you can catch us there as well. Just look up Prospects and Props. The video version there as well. If you want to catch the video version on the YouTube side of things, the Draft Network on YouTube, give us a thumbs up. Subscribe over there as well as we continue to grow that for the 2023 football season and the 2024 NFL draft cycle. We've got you covered here on the Prospects and Props podcast. Hope everybody has a fantastic weekend. We're back on Monday, Wide Receiver Week. Have a good one.
Reese's peanut butter cups are the greatest, but let me play devil's advocate here. Let's see. So, no, that's a good thing. that's definitely not a problem. Reese's, you did it. You stumped this charming devil.
Suffering from aches and pains? The all-new Tempur-Pedic Adapt Mattress eases your pressure points all night, every night. Now, save up to $500 on select adjustable mattress sets at Tempur-Pedic.com. Select adjustable mattress sets only. Lesser savings may apply.
For 25 years, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard. So is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again. Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.